"Please close the door and sit down, Harry," said Dumbledore, sounding rather tired. Harry obeyed, noticing as he took his usual seat in front of Dumbledore's desk that the Pensieve lay between them once more, as did two more tiny crystal bottles full of swirling memory. "Professor Trelawney still isn't happy Firenze is teaching, then?" Harry asked.
"No," said Dumbledore. "Divination is turning out to be much more trouble than I could have foreseen, never having studied the subject myself. I cannot ask Firenze to return to the forests, where he is now an outcast, nor can I ask Sybil Trelawney to leave. Between ourselves, she has no idea of the danger she would be in outside the castle. She does not know, and I think it would be unwise to enlighten her, that she made the prophecy about you and Voldemort, you see."
Dumbledore heaved a deep sigh, then said,
"But never mind my staffing problems. We have much more important matters to discuss. Firstly, have you managed the task I set you at the end of our previous lesson?"
"Ah," said Harry, brought up short. What with apparition lessons and Quidditch and Ron being poisoned and getting his skull cracked and his determination to find out what Draco Malfoy was up to, Harry had almost forgotten about the memory Dumbledore had asked him to extract from Professor Slughorn.
"Well, I asked Professor Slughorn about it at the end of potions, sir, but, he wouldn't give it to me."
There was a little silence.
"I see,"
said Dumbledore eventually, peering at Harry over the top of his half-moon spectacles and giving Harry the usual sensation that he was being X-rayed.
"And you feel that you have exerted your very best efforts in this matter, do you? That you have exercised all of your considerable ingenuity? That you have left no depth of cunning unplumbed in your quest to retrieve the memory?"
"Well," Harry stalled at a loss for what to say next. His single attempt to get hold of the memory suddenly seemed embarrassingly feeble. "Well, the day Ron swallowed Love Potion by mistake, I took him to Professor Slughorn. I thought maybe if I got Professor Slughorn in a good enough mood..."
"And did that work?" asked Dumbledore.
"Well, no, sir, because Ron got poisoned."
"Which naturally made you forget all about trying to retrieve the memory. I would have expected nothing else while your best friend was in danger. Once it became clear that Mr. Weasley was going to make a full recovery, however, I would have hoped that you returned to the task I set you. I thought I made it clear to you how very important that memory is. Indeed, I did my best to impress upon you that it is the most crucial memory of all, and that we will be wasting our time without it."
A hot, prickly feeling of shame spread from the top of Harry's head all the way down his body. Dumbledore had not raised his voice. He did not even sound angry, but Harry would have preferred him to yell. This cold disappointment was worse than anything.
"Sir," he said a little desperately, "it isn't that I wasn't bothered or anything. I've just had other things." "Other things on your mind,"
Dumbledore finished the sentence for him.
"I see."
Silence fell between them again, the most uncomfortable silence Harry had ever experienced with Dumbledore. It seemed to go on and on, punctuated only by the little grunting snores of the portrait of Armando Dippet over Dumbledore's head. Harry felt strangely diminished, as though he had shrunk a little since he had entered the room. When he could stand it no longer, he said, "Professor Dumbledore, I'm really sorry. I should have done more. I should have realized you wouldn't have asked me to do it if it wasn't really important."
"Thank you for saying that, Harry," said Dumbledore quietly. "May I hope, then, that you will give this matter higher priority from now on? There will be little point in our meeting after tonight unless we have that memory."
"I'll do it, sir. I'll get it from him," he said earnestly.
"Then we shall say no more about it just now," said Dumbledore more kindly, "but continue with our story where we left off. You remember where that was?"
"Yes, sir," said Harry quickly. "Voldemort killed his father and his grandparents and made it look as though his uncle Morfin did it. Then he went back to Hogwarts and he asked Professor Slughorn about Horcruxes." he mumbled shamefacedly.
Very good, said Dumbledore. Now you will remember, I hope, that I told you at the very outset of these meetings of ours that we would be entering the realms of guesswork and speculation.
Yes, sir.
Thus far, as I hope you agree, I have shown you reasonably firm sources of fact for my deductions as to what Voldemort did until the age of 17.
Harry nodded.
But now, Harry, said Dumbledore, now things become murkier and stranger. If it was difficult to find evidence about the boy Riddle, it has been almost impossible to find anyone prepared to reminisce about the man Voldemort. In fact, I doubt whether there is a soul alive, apart from himself, who could give us a full account of his life since he left Hogwarts. However, I have two last memories that I would like to share with you.
Dumbledore indicated the two little crystal bottles gleaming beside the pensive.
I shall then be glad of your opinion as to whether the conclusions I have drawn from them seem likely.